Hey, what's going on, grandkids? Welcome to a quick and dirty edition of the Stunt Granny Audio. Eric and Kevin here. What's up, Kevin?
Oh, you know, just another fine Wednesday night.
nothing
I
could
am
be finer.
sore. I'm as sore as I'll get out because the workouts that I'm doing this week, I haven't done in like a month and a half.
What's special about these workouts?
Well, I change every 3 weeks. But because I was supposed to start the one set of exercise like during the Stanley Cup Finals, and I only went to the gym twice in those 2 weeks.
Because you were too busy growing your beard.
Yeah, I was too busy growing my beard. that and playing softball. But, yeah, I didn't end up getting into the gym all that much. So I just pushed the exercises back. So I just finished up my 3 weeks of the one set exercises. So it's really been like 5 weeks. So I mean, it's just that they, you know, they work the muscles differently.
Yep.
You know, so.
Good. I'm actually doing the.
That's it.
Oh, go ahead.
It's not a bad sore. You know, I mean, it's a good sore. So.
Oh, it's a deep burn. I don't know if you heard me. I just did 1,000 bicep curls. yeah. I've been doing Muscle and Fitness's Rock Hard Challenge from last year. I'll tell you what, man, I'm kind of like, you know, that game on Price is Right, Safe Cracker, where it's like the three numbers and you have to put them in order, and then of the price of whatever the small item is, and then you get what the big item is behind the safe door.
Yeah.
About a year and 6 weeks ago, I checked in at 260, 260 pounds, 260. I just weighed myself this morning, 206. So, obviously, I'm doing something right. But, yeah, I feel like a Barker's beauty. Which I still insist, now that Barker isn't on there anymore, they should rename him Carrie's Cunt. But
somehow, I don't think that's going to happen during daytime TV.
Yeah, probably not.
I don't know what I might be thinking.
Well, I... Speaking of cunts, there's no easy segue into this. So yeah, for our usual midweek show, there's surprisingly little news, and it starts with Monday Night Raw, which was wholly unnewsworthy other than the fact that Seth Green was the guest host, and I don't know, without jumping the gun too much, they announced that DZ Top was going to be the guest host for next week. I don't know. What did you make of this week's guest host, Mr. Seth Green?
Well, I enjoy his product. So I've got to admit, I was glad to... It was fun to see him in here. I thought maybe he acted a little quirky every now and again. But overall, I thought he put on a pretty solid show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. And when he got the one... What did he get? To slap Cody Rhodes or punch him or something like that. I like the look on his face of like kind of shock and then excitement, and then he fucking ran, which is funny because you could see the difference in size between Seth Green and everybody else. So when you see somebody who's so small they want to run from Cody Rhodes, that only helps Cody Rhodes' case.
Yeah, it really does for a change.
God, what else, though? I mean, you know, it was just a chance for, I don't know. Obviously, it was all just a setup so John Cena, Triple H, and Randy Orton could wrestle each other for a while.
Oh, and, you know, I even put this on the Twitter, and since nobody follows our Twitter yet, I think we're up to, like, a whole 19 people or something like that. We need more people, damn it. Sign up, Stunt Granny, on Twitter. It's my personal wasteland for mental notes.
That's very true.
And going through this, you know what? I hate Chavo Guerrero.
Yeah.
But even I felt bad for him having to wrestle Hornswoggle a second time and losing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought that Shelton Benjamin was in the world's smallest doghouse. But, man, that thing, I'm not even sure if it's the chihuahua that is Chavo Guerrero at this point. Man, it might have fit in like the head of the chihuahua, or just like the body. Like it can only like put in one part of its body.
It's more like one of those like funnel-shaped collars that you put a dog in so he can't bite himself or lick his wounds after he goes to the vet.
Yeah, that's kind of what Chavo is right now.
I'm not gonna lie, man. I saw him job to Hornswoggle on, was it Superstars on Thursday? When that segment came around on Monday, that was my time to take the garbage out to the curb. I had no time for that segment. I didn't give a shit. I left the TV on. It's not like I'm a Nielsen household, but like whatever. I mean, maybe it'll count towards something. But seriously, what a dumb idea.
I think I fast forwarded through it. I was like, seriously?
Yeah.
Like, seriously?
Just like, I don't know. I understand sometimes not having something for a wrestler, but this is what you come up with? It's dumb.
I mean, you couldn't have extended one of the other matches. Well, and, right. You know, a match that just got fucking thrown out there that could have used a couple extra minutes. The MVP Jack Swagger match.
Yes, it really could have. I felt like that was way too short for a clean Jack Swagger victory. When are they going to rename the Gut Wrench Power Bomb into something that makes sense? I mean, even the Dr. Bomb would be okay since it was Dr. Death, Steve Williams' old move. And I realize Jack Swagger's not a doctor or anything, but, you know. Kevin Nash's old name, but that's all right. I'm just trying to think of anything besides Swagger Bomb. If I hear that, I'm going to, whatever, I'm going to be upset.
Yeah, it is kind of strange that somebody has a finisher that does not have, a name to it, really. Like, of all things, like, you know, they try to make you pretend like it's somebody's real name at this point.
Yeah.
Almost no matter what.
The Smiley Bomb, old guy Smiley there.
Norman Smiley?
Yeah, the American Bomb, the All-American Bomb. American Bomb.
That would be kind of funny.
There's something wrong with my VCR. No, that's what the move is called.
The All-American Bomb. I really think that could work. It would be just obnoxious enough to work.
Yes, it would. That's a good point. I'm glad you brought that match up because I was kind of like, I half expected that to be the finish, but not as soon as it was. This is like the third match that MVP has lost in 4 or 5 minutes in, you know, a while.
Yeah, and he's in the hut right next to Chavo Guerrero.
I don't get it, man. He did his losing streak and then came back, and he's all popular now, and it's not like he's in another losing streak exactly, but he's in a weird spot. Like I said a show or two ago with you, he's not in a position to be putting guys over yet. Like, he still needs to get put over himself and be considered a big-money ball player, if you will, before he starts putting over other people.
Wow, is that another future guest, Raw GM, that we might have heard a little glimpse of?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, baby. That could be very possible. In public, if you will.
I did see that he's on the WWE Universe, so.
Aha, awesome.
Yeah,
make him as little sense as possible. He never make any sense. He just kind of rattled off on the top of his head.
Because Jericho twittered about his Gillette ads on WWE.com, but I cannot find them.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, he said they're pure comedy or whatever he said. Highbrow comedy.
Yep. Maybe it's too highbrow, so they had to yank it.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of Jericho and Raw, though, he made his announcement that he will, what did he say, at Night of Champions, he will introduce his new partner? Did he say at, or, I don't think he said before. I feel like he said at. But I could be mistaken. I mean, I guess the big question is there anybody other than Miz that he could announce as his partner?
You know, if they really wanted to cement CM Punk as a heel,
mm-hmm.
It would be kind of funny since CM Punk has been giving like the altruistic, hey, I didn't take these drugs, I'm, you know, I had to get this from a doctor bullshit. Like,
right.
If they really wanted to throw him down as a heel, I think they could pick CM Punk.
Yeah, that's true. He can continue his holier-than-thou rambling like he has been, and like Jericho has for the last year and a half. That would be one.
Yeah.
The only thing is, he would almost have, his world title match would almost have to be earlier in the night, and he would have to lose unless they were willing to have one guy hold two championships at once.
Right. I didn't even think about that aspect of it, to be honest. But I didn't even think about The Miz, but The Miz is another good choice, really.
Yeah. I mean, really, like, looking up and down the roster, there are so few guys, like, there's no way it would be Carlito. The Big Show, maybe, in that it's just a big main event level guy that Jericho could count on.
You know what he could do?
Hmm.
He'd give us some woo-woo-wooing.
Holy shit. Chris Jericho and
now,
Matt Ryder.
They could do that, but only is like we're trying to put somebody over manner. Like, they would almost have to acknowledge that, really.
Yeah.
You know, maybe pull him in as a protege or something like that. I don't know. Maybe there's too much of that going on, really, in the WWE right now.
Well, of all the guys that could be the protege type, you got Zack Ryder, could be Dolph Ziggler, could be the Brian Kendrick.
Uh-oh.
You know, Brian Kendrick was talking a month or two ago on Raw. He was like, I'm looking to find the tag team partner. But really, any of those guys in Jericho, none of those guys are at Jericho's level. And I'm not saying The Miz is yet, but I feel like The Miz, in his WWE environment, has the best opportunity to get up to Jericho level someday.
Well, and I think that he is a step closer than those other guys, too.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, I think they're building up Ziggler to that level.
Mm-hmm.
But they have just really been starting the building process here, the last month, really?
Yep. And, yeah, Miz has been on this wagon for a while now.
Yeah, because, I mean, they were on all the shows. Him and Morrison were on all the shows, as the unified, or as the champs, even before they were unified.
Yep.
It's been a solid year that he's really kind of been, you know, almost always involved in, a weekly program or two a week, which,
yeah,
you know, is saying something.
Yeah, definitely. And then with the feud with Cena, obviously they thought enough of him to put him with Cena, no matter what the outcome of their feud was. And then not to
mention
the Twitter feud that those two are having. You know, that's either a red herring or they're trying to, you know, they're obviously buddies, so why not, you know, play on that?
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. That's my vote. I would love to see Miz in a tag team with Chris. I think honestly, I was thinking back to Jericho in 98, 99, after he turned heel in WCW and was cutting some of those hilarious promos that really, like, made him enough of a star to make him worth WWE's time and contract.
Yeah.
And Miz is totally that guy. Miz is that guy a decade later. So,
yeah. Yeah. And they kind of,
passing the torch.
Yeah, they kind of dropped the ball on him a little bit there with the Cena thing, too. I mean, I know you semi-referenced that, but really, what better way to get him back on track, really, even?
Yep, I agree. So, there's a thought there. Otherwise, Raw bikinis to start the show, that was fine. Gail Kim came back at just the right time. What the hell else? Did anything else on Raw?
Evan Bourne got squashed.
Yeah, God, some of that was a little looking nasty. I hope I haven't heard anything about a health update, so I'm assuming he's all right. But that last like big slam that he took right down his shoulder was gross.
Yeah, it was brutal.
Yeah.
And then,
Kofi,
yeah, we could. Oh, Kofi.
trying to establish himself as some sort of authoritarian. He come in, he gonna put a foot in the man's face. Whatever. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, you know, I was hoping that he would develop into something more. I think he even defended him, really, even at the beginning of his run. Because you really haven't liked him from the get-go.
No.
And it's like, eh, you know, I'll give him a little bit of time. And you know what? He's had a little bit of time, and I don't think he's really gotten any better, really. Like, maybe a little bit better, but, you know, I'm more with you on that one now, to be honest with you. Like, again, you know, I don't think he's developed to the point where, you know, he can be pulling that shit off against the Big Show, really.
No, no. But, actually, I know this is kind of jumping back and forth. When we were talking about Swagger and MVP and the whole clean loss, kind of out of nowhere, surprise, whatever. Is it allowable in the time-space continuum to jump backwards in order to segue into something?
Yeah, I say we can.
Okay, because the
especially
segue
if you have a point about the something involving that match and game.
Well, the point being, and the segue being, fast forward about 24 hours later to ECW, and Kevin, off camera or off air or whatever, you had mentioned that there were some odd finishes to matches on ECW. Why don't we talk about that for a bit?
Yeah. Well, and I had already referenced this one too, really. Shelton Benjamin in his small doghouse. That it was just 2 weeks ago that he came out and did a jet, or I suppose it would have been 3 weeks ago, maybe. This week, last week, yeah, 2 weeks ago. That he did the whole Japanese impression. Got his head kicked off and got pinned for the three count. And now, you know, it seems, at least that what I've looked at, a majority opinion that it's good to put Benjamin in the main event scene at ECW. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, isn't this maybe a little too quick?
Uh-huh.
Especially with Christian going for the title. I mean, they did build in an excuse for Christian, at least.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not completely sour to me. But, you know, I don't know. I still don't know if the right way to go, really, honestly. Like,
yeah.
I don't know why you can't give Benjamin a win over somebody else at some point.
Yeah, there's got to be a lesser...
Well, yeah, and you know what? I think... Do I have the website up here? Oh, yeah, I do. Let's see if I can...
While you're looking that up, no, I was... When I saw that...
I'm looking up, because really... Something that happened later in the night, a guy that could do the perfect job really did it, and that was Goldust.
Oh, yeah, which I have a thought on him, too, that I'm just going to drop on everybody right now. First of all, two thoughts. One, based on the match, the opening match. When I saw Shelton and Christian in the opening match on ECW, I was like, damn, they can't even save that for a title match down the road once they rebuild Shelton after his head kick fiasco. let's see. Jordan Smith, a.k.a. Big Round Wizard, was in town this last weekend for the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame stuff, which we'll talk about here in the near future on an audio. But we were went to Mongolian barbecue, and then we decided to walk it off around the mall, scoping out high school-age chicks and whatnot. And we walked past an FYE, and Jordan was like, hey, let's swing by there. I like to check out the DVDs. And they had a three-pack of DVDs, all in one metal box, which is kind of neat. It was the AWA DVD, the Superstar Billy Graham one, and the Dusty Rhodes three-disc set. So I'm like, fucking jackpot. Awesome. All three of those for $20. So I bought those, and I watched the Dusty Rhodes DVD in its entirety. And it talked about Dustin, who I've always liked. I've always thought Dustin was good. I never thought there was, like, nepotism involved in his push in WCW. He was really good. He was good as Gold Dust. I think that he's had quite the career. And to be perfectly honest with you, Dustin Rhodes I think is a hell of a lot more valuable as a 20-year veteran, just as Dustin Rhodes or Dustin Runnels or whatever, than he is as some fucking clown in a gold outfit. You know, that worked in 95 and 96, and it got him over, and people thought he was freaky, and, you know, whatever. It did the whole, like, step out of your father's footsteps, out of a shadow thing. That's fine. That was fine for what it was. But I think in 2009, I think Dustin Rhodes, like, you know what? If he can collect his WWE paycheck, that's fine. But, you know, if TNA ever came knocking, like, this guy's got a hell of a career behind him and could really be a good veteran presence somewhere. And that's just my opinion. Thought I'd drop that rather than who did job to this week?
Woo 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 woo.
He did job to fucking Woo Cubed. That's right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Zack Ryder.
I think there's better for Dustin Rhodes out there than jobbing to Zack Ryder in a couple of minutes on ECW. But anyway, just putting that out there.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't think it's that bad of a deal for him. I mean, I think that they could do more for him if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're right. The fact that he is gold dust, I think that's what ends up limiting him there. Yeah, I think that was the most valid point, that whole thing there.
Yeah, definitely.
So, you know, I don't know. I guess I saw the positive in it. I think he can, you know, do that. You know, I mean, it helps Ryder look better. You know, he beat, Tyler Rex twice on Superstars the last 2 weeks?
Yeah.
What's that really? You know, I don't think they're positioning Zack Ryder for the ECW title quite yet, really,
no.
Even. But him beating Tyler Rex really doesn't do anything for him.
No, not so much. Let's see. What was the other? Oh, the other match, though. So we've got Christian losing to Shelton Benjamin with Christian's ECW title match on the horizon. So that's interesting, especially given that Shelton just lost to Yoshitatsu in about 20 seconds the other week. But then, let's see. What was the other? Oh, Tommy Dreamer and Vladimir Kozlov.
Yeah. I had even forgotten that he was on ECW. Kozlov.
No, okay. I thought you were going to say the ECW champion Tommy Dreamer, which wouldn't surprise me at all.
No, they've fucking had him on in every fucking capacity, so I remember that he's on the show at least.
Okay.
I may not remember his matches or anything like that, but I at least know that he's on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But Kozlov, I swear he hasn't been on. Like, he was on last week, but before that, he hadn't been on for like 2 or 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. I had honestly forgotten that he was on the show. I was like, oh, fuck. That's right. He's on the show.
Yep. Well, and then, yeah, I don't know. I still just don't buy him being interspersed with the main event wrestlers.
Well, and then, you know, it's the problem that their guys just aren't that big, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not good enough to really mix it up with the big boys, which is why they sent him down to ECW. But he's kind of too big for a lot of the people in ECW, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Tommy Dreamer's one of the bigger guys, and he still has a good weight advantage on him. And you're kind of like, okay, he's going to beat up. You know, even though Abraham Washington fucking harped on it too much to make it completely fucking unfunny the week before. I mean,
yeah.
Tommy Dreamer is not in the best shape of his life or anything like that.
No, certainly not. I believe our conversation about the Denny's breakfast the other day went a long way into talking about old Tommy non-dairy creamer.
So, you know, when you're one of your bigger guys, because, I mean, I like Christian and all, but he's still kind of smallish.
Yeah, he still looks pretty average. I know how Jeremy will always harp on Mr. Kennedy for looking normal. Other than Christian's facials, he looks completely normal, too. He just looks like a normal, average, like, college dude.
Well, it's just because, what, he's probably like 6'3" or something like that. That's the only difference that it really makes, is that he is kind of tall.
Yeah, he's got a little height. I don't know if he's 6'3", he might be 6'1 or 2, but he's gotten more, I mean, yeah, he's taller than most guys. I'll tell you
yeah,
what.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean.
I don't want to forget this guy in the ECW talk. I don't want to see him get lost in the shuffle. Speaking of guys with size, Ezekiel Jackson. I'm telling you, man, that guy, if he gets his act together, if he's like, if he's just on, that dude could be a poster boy, poster child. I can't remember. I think poster children are the missing ones. But anyway, he could definitely take up residence on posters for WWE if they wanted him to. That motherfucker's big. And he looks scary, and he cut a good promo, too, which is good because it seems like a lot of big guys have weird voices coming out of them lately, but he actually sounds
yeah.
kind of imposing also, so that's pretty cool.
Well, that and his voice kind of, you know, you look at him and you expect that voice to come out.
Yes.
And that's where the voice, yeah, that does come out.
Yep. Well, that's always good. Here pretty soon I'm going to have to post a video. I know if anyone's keeping up with AWA on ESPN Classic, they've probably seen the guy who would become Nails, Kevin Kelly, Kevin Wackles, whatever you want to call him, cutting a promo in the AWA. Jordan and I caught that on TV the other day, and oh my fucking God, there's a reason that they distorted his voice in his WWF promos back in the day, because he sounds about as gay as a weightlifter blowing a tuba player. Like the most embarrassing voice I've ever heard in my life, coming out of 2,478 Boss Man. It sounds nothing like that back in his AWA days. Trust me. So if I can find a clip of that on YouTube, I'm gonna put it up on the main site.
Oh yeah, I haven't been. It is so painful to listen to those announcers. Like
oh,
I can't
yeah.
believe they make Tanay and West sound good.
Old drunk Larry Nelson.
Oh my God, it's just painful. That I sit there and I always say to myself, like I know that I've seen some of the WWE matches during that time, and they weren't all that much more terribly exciting.
Yeah.
I'm glad the style of wrestling has changed because that shit is boring.
Yes. Yes, it is.
That's the other reason. It's just like, oh my God. Like I start watching some of those matches and I'm like, wow, and we make fun of Randy Orton for his rest holds.
Yeah, it's true. 1986 was not a good year in the AWA.
So yeah, I mean I just catch it periodically for shits and giggles when I'm probably like sleeping less than I should.
Sure. Well, if I can find this video, I'll put it up and everybody can bask in the glory that is Kevin Kelly, fucking high-talking weirdo. let's see. I don't know, does that pretty much cover everything for ECW? I mean, they're obviously trying to continue creating parity across the top of the roster there. I mean, you've only got 12 dudes, that means you pretty much got Vladimir Kozlov to choose from.
Yeah, and Yoshi's kind of on a roll, and they've had Sheamus win the first couple weeks.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I said this. I don't know. I wasn't all that enamored by Big Zeke there on the mic for some reason. Like it didn't do that much for me. But I do like his potential. I've liked it since he had that little encounter and he didn't back down from Triple H.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I was just like, oh, my God, this guy can be a fucking animal. Like, you know, he was right. He was standing up to Triple H, and he's kind of a little bit shorter than some of those guys, but, man, he's a fucking tank.
Yeah, yep, for sure. Yeah, size-wise, he's got, and look-wise, he's got exactly what you need. Skill-wise, he'll be fine. He's a good monster. Promo-wise, I just wasn't turned off by what he did. It wasn't anything, like, special. It wasn't anything to write home about, but it was definitely better
gotcha.
Than a lot of guys that are just getting on the microphone for the first or second time. So... I'm definitely
yeah.
in Zeke's corner. If I was gonna start my own wrestling league and could cherry pick like who I wanted for monsters, if I could grab Hernandez from TNA and Zeke from ECW, pretty much hand me the keys of the Franklin Mint because I'd be printing out money like crazy. Let's see. Speaking of other leagues, though, Kevin is our, of course, our Pro Wrestling Ohio resident expert, being from Ohio and all, and of course having interest in the company. So
you can still catch their shows if you have satellite, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's something maybe I should mention on the site itself, really. I guess that might not be a bad reminder, really.
Sure, yeah. Well, tease us here and then put it up on the site for those who are too lazy to download the show.
But it's Sports Time Ohio is the station that broadcasts it here in the state.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that they are carried on some of the satellite couriers. So, you know, if you're out there and you fucking have satellite, you can check this out if you want to. I mean, I could probably, if I really felt like it, this is one thing that Jeremy said he, like, can't forget. Like, you know, some of the quality, I could probably hammer it more if I really felt like it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially production-wise. Like, they are just, like, they are starting to pour money into this thing. So they're still kind of getting used to it. Like, they've quadrupled their ratings this season.
Oh, great. That's excellent.
Yeah.
Thanks
so,
in no small part to Kevin DeFrango.
Huh?
I said thanks in no small part to Kevin DeFrango. You can take your bow anytime.
Well, I won't take my bow until I see if I I have a trick up my sleeve to see if I can't go up there for their big pay-per-view type event here.
Okay, excellent. Their super card.
Yeah, their super card. Which is headlined by, or one of the headlining matches that I mentioned to you.
Yes.
And really has already been announced, I believe, from what I have written about, honestly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because that was at one from last week. Greg Valentine evidently was pissed off by one of the resident tag teams, The Clash,
mm-hmm.
which is Ernie Balls and Brian Bender.
Yep.
Well, he has picked a tag team partner, which that's been mentioned too. It's Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Oh yeah, baby. Yeah, ha ha ha. Sorry.
Like, I can't believe Natalia isn't making enough cash so she can like flip some back to Dad.
I'm not giving you. That'd be nice.
Yeah, but evidently he is still working. And I guess it is, you know, and they also have another star that I'm not going to mention that I will leave out there because I believe that matchup gets set in later episodes that I have not quite watched yet.
Okay.
But yeah, they tried to bring in King Kong Bundy last year.
Okay.
But he ended up with a foot injury, so he only, like, talked at the event.
Okay.
Wow. He, you know, I mean, he was never a slim guy, but he's pretty hefty now.
Really? I suppose time's catching up to him.
Yeah, and somebody mentioned that he was 51 today, so he must have been 50 last year.
Yeah.
And then Greg the Hammer, I think I swear he fucking lives up in that area or something. But he does stuff all around that area. He worked with them last year at, because Resolution is the name of their supercard, and this is Resolution 2.
Yeah.
And Greg Valentine was on it last year.
Interesting.
So, yeah, he likes it. And there were, I think, the beginning of the season here, way back in episode 1, we had, there were 4 sit-down interviews with Greg Valentine. Maybe that's last year when we were. It might have been last year when I was still running for the Torch. I really can't remember. But anyway, yeah, they've done a lot of stuff with the Hammer. So this is kind of a reappearance, and he was on earlier this season too for a 6-man tag.
Okay.
Was it or an 8-man tag? So yeah, he's actually kind of a bit of a familiar face, and wow, he still has a rockin' mullet.
Oh, I bet, yeah, the stringy, yeah, the last couple of times I've seen him, like, they did that round table after The Wrestler came out, and it was, like, Beefcake, Luger, Valentine, and Piper. Yeah, Greg Valentine pretty much looks exactly the same as he did back in 1991. Which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing for Greg to hammer Valentine. But I don't know, just not to steal PWO's thunder. Just as soon as you mentioned Greg the Hammer Valentine, that reminded me of a show called Clash at the Cove, and that's happening in South Bend, Indiana, August 9th. And Greg Valentine is teaming up with the guy who I believe used to be a WWF jobber, Brian Costello, and they're going to wrestle Axe and Smash of Demolition. So,
wow.
Greg Valentine's keeping himself busy, and he's keeping himself busy in the eastern part of the Midwest, too, or whatever you consider your part of the country.
Yeah, I suppose it would be, really. Because really we're pretty yeah, you get into Pennsylvania, start talking well, some people consider like even as west as, well, yeah, Pittsburgh, like the Midwest really.
Oh,
which
okay.
I guess I always include the whole state of Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
But really, you know, when you kind of start to look at it, you know, you're kind of maybe starting the eastern edge of the Midwest if you really want to talk that way, really.
Yeah, I think so. So,
yeah, if he's there and in Indiana, he's and I know that there's another smaller wrestling league that's been on a couple of times, Pro Wrestling Rampage. They did they had a couple of matches from there on one of their shows, and he wrestled there too, and that's based out of Erie, Pennsylvania, which is up, you know, in the little fucking tip there up along the lake.
Right, yep.
So, yeah, it really is. He kind of stays in this area. So, yeah, I suppose I wouldn't be too terribly surprised if he lives in the fucking area somewhere.
Sure, yeah. So, okay, Resolution is a live event, and it's happening where and when?
August 9th at the Nautica Pavilion. They held it there last year.
Okay.
It's in downtown Cleveland. It's along the... it's along the lake, or along the river. I always say lake, but that part of the, cause it's in the drinking district there, which is going to be kind of nice. Although I probably, it's a daytime show. It's a 2 o'clock gate, 3 o'clock starting time.
I wondered because it's going to be August 9th, you said.
Yeah.
I wondered about that time start because Greg, that. Clash of the Cove is also going to be August 9th. Jesus Christ. I know it takes Greg the Hammer Valentine a while to warm up, but maybe by the time the Clash of the Cove rolls around, he'll be warmed up from a match at Resolution. Jesus Christ, Greg. You really fucking get around, don't you?
Yeah, okay. I'm looking at it. It says August 9th.
Yeah,
okay,
it does.
I just wanted
Yeah, Sunday, yeah, Resolution 2, a coming of age, the Nautica Pavilion in downtown Cleveland, Sunday afternoon, August 9th, gates at 2 p.m.
Yeah, oh, the flat. Oh, God, okay, I couldn't think of it. That's they call the area the flat.
Okay.
God, okay, I was kicking myself for not remembering where that was. And the the Great Lakes Brewing Company is right down there, too. And
awesome.
I have on at least one occasion touted their beer. I have a strong dislike for the Browns, but the beer from there is outstanding in
cool.
Many varieties.
And hey, while we're talking about beer and everything, give a shout out to Rikishi 420, big fan. Well, I'm a big fan of his because he's got a website, thefullpint.com, www.thefullpint.com. So anyway, go and read up on all your beers there. But, yeah, Greg Valentine, my God, pulling double time here on August 9th.
Yeah, wow, that's going to be quite a trip, too. I mean, Cleveland's pretty far north.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Cleveland to South Bend, huh? Let's do a Google map quick. Get direction. Cleveland, OH, to South Bend, IM. Let's see, 4 hours? All right, Gregory. Let's hope your match in Cleveland is first on the cards. You got plenty of time to drive all the way across God's green fucking earth to get to your show. And
yeah, I mean, I can't imagine he's flying.
No, probably not. Good God. Good for him, though. Get a couple payoffs.
Yeah, so he's gonna be exhausted after that. So I think
I'm
he's
telling you, man. Takes Greg Dammer Valentine 23 hours just to warm up. Oh, for fuck's sake. Well, good. I'm glad we got a chance to out Greg Valentine as a greedy bastard. he's just making money. We'd all do it. We'd all wrestle twice in one day if we could.
Yeah, I mean, it's just honestly good. Like, I can't see how it's going to be really tough to pull that off, you know? 4 hours is a fucking decent drive. Like, no matter, like, he's got to be at the very beginning of one card and the very end of the other card.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's what's probably going to happen. He'll arrange it that way, I'm sure. He's an old vet.
Yep.
Oh,
he's
man.
One of the big attractions.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Let's see. Anything else the people need to know?
Well, you know, I could yammer on about one of the other matches, I suppose.
Okay, what do you got for us?
It's another one of my homeboys, because this is another one that got set up there by my article there.
Hmm.
Another one of my homeboys from the fine Kent State wrestling program. Evidently, that is a popular springboard. One time, WWE development talent, actually, Mike Tolar,
okay,
is wrestling M-Dog 20 Matt Cross, who I believe has had some action in Ring of Honor.
Yes, he has, and I believe both Ring of Honor and Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, and of course he's also the guy who was made famous by one of those original backyard wrestling videos from like 97 or 98. He was a high flyer, of course, and now he's
he's
graduated, made a big name for himself on the indies. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and he was an alternate for the U.S. gymnastics team.
Oh yeah, I can see that. I can definitely see that.
Yeah, I forget which year it was. But, yeah, I was like, damn. Yeah, but, yeah, you can definitely tell in his wrestling. And that really is actually one of the bases for this matchup, is that Tolar is claiming that mat wrestling is far superior to the gymnastics that Mr.
Okay.
Cross decides to employ for offense. So, yeah, their backgrounds are important to this match.
Excellent. Good. Well, that's just old school booking right there. My style's better than your style.
Yep. Yep. That's the one thing that they do. And I have on more than one occasion made fun of TNA during my reviews simply because most of the time they don't try to overdo themselves, you know? They know what they have, and they know they've got to keep it basic, you know, and that, you know, they don't try to overshoot with it and kind of going back to even with the budget being bigger now. You know, they don't try to overshoot and, you know, go for something that is too ridiculous, really, like too out of their range. You know, potential-wise, would that be the right thing to say?
Yeah, I think I see what you're
getting. You know, or production-wise, like, they know, you know, what their limits are, and, you know, they could easily try to kind of grow out of their britches, but they don't. So, yeah, you know, if you just kind of stick to booking 101, I think you're a lot fucking better off, especially, you know, like I said, when you don't really have a budget, you know, of the WWE or even TNA.
Oh, yeah.
So...
look at ECW as proof, you know. Sure, Paul Heyman had some wacky ideas, but really, like you said, booking 101. With Paulie, it might be more like booking 201. You might be up a level, but you know, when you don't have that much money to pour into it, then if you stick with the basics and really get people involved, then yeah, then you're going to be looked at as having a better product.
Yep.
Cool.
So, yeah, I think I can throw those compliments down for them, you know. Like I said, maybe not the most money in the world, but, you know, you kind of work with what you got.
Yep. Sounds like they're doing a good job of it, too.
Yep.
All right, cool.
So yeah, I mean, I think that has a pretty good stopping point to it, because some of these other matches haven't fully developed. So you know, maybe in future stuff we'll run over a couple more before said date.
All right. Good deal. Well, then, yeah, this is a good stopping point, I think. So keep an eye and an ear out for Kevin talking about PWO here in the near future. Hopefully, before it gets too far removed from the events of last weekend, Jordan and I will get a chance to talk about the Wrestling Hall of Fame weekend. And I would say it was quite the eventful weekend. We, just as a teaser, we actually spoke in length to both Nick Bockwinkel and Bob Roop. And then I got over my unnatural fear of talking to Larry the Axe Hennig, who was probably about the biggest teddy bear in the world. And then hopefully Jordan gets some pictures put up on his Flickr account so we can post those on the site and you can see my altercation with Amy Hennig live in a Technicolor. I'll leave it at that though.
Yeah, did you get a picture of being no-sold by Harley Race?
No, thankfully Jordan did not snap that picture at that time, but he sold me a book and then he would not sell my handshake attempt. But anyway, hopefully that's a couple things you can look forward to here in the next few days. Otherwise, yeah, and then you and Jeremy are going to talk about TNA's next pay-per-view. Fuck if I know what it's called, but I was trying to pause to let you fill in the blanks because I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I wish I knew what it was, but I have no
Oh,
fucking clue.
it's Victory Road now that I think about it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, I mean, that is really sad that I watch that show every week. Like, I mean, I watch way too much wrestling. I mean, I
Well,
watch every program that comes on, really. And it's just one of those things where I skip through so much of that show. I mean, I know I watch the promos and I watch the matches, but you know, like the talking in between, oh, I can't handle it. You know, anything that involves Mike West and or yeah, Don West and Mike Tenay, I just I'm sorry, it's hit the fast forward button, get the fuck
Well,
out.
for me, it's Dr. Stevie and Abyss. That's when my fast forward button gets its workout. But yeah, you guys are going to talk about that here in the upcoming days. So plenty of stuff
Yeah,
for people to
hopefully
keep
we
up with
will.
checking out.
If I'm not too hungover Saturday morning, we'll get around to it.
All right, sounds good. Well, in that case, we're going to sign off here. So I'm going to go and keep applying for jobs. Wish me luck and talk to everybody later.
Okay, grandkids, wish Eric luck, and yeah, it's time for a quick sippy time beer, and then it's Grandpa's bedtime.